This is sex.
Everyone gets what they want.
This is sexploration.
Explore.
Play.
This is Sexploration with Monica.
Sex is proof that God loves us and wants us to have fun.
Sexploration with Monica at sexplorationwithmonica.com.
So we're on a busy street corner. It's a beautiful day in San Francisco, and Scott and I have just had a lovely lunch, and we're working on Mask Eroticas coming up in, what is it, less than like 45 days, something like that?
Yes, 45 days and ticking.
And it's going to be a huge sex-positive event in San Francisco. Costumes and lots of different performances. You are arranging for this crazy performance piece. Amazonian headdresses, beautiful people.
Sure, yeah.
What are you doing with that? Tell me all about it. You're like, I can't even think about it right now. But you have to.
I am privileged and honored to be working with the community of folks from Mission Control and from the various sex-positive underground communities of San Francisco in creating multiple ensembles and troupes. The Cannibals will be back this year, with the Queen of the Cannibals, and the Zombie Strippers are going to be back. We'll be hosting the costume contest on the main stage. We'll be hosting the VIP lounge with a number of different wonderful folks. And new this year will be the Apocalypse Army, who must be seen to be believed.
So Scott Levkoff is one of the co-founders of Kinky Salon, and he's been involved in the sex-positive community in San Francisco for over a decade. As we're coming together to create Mask Erotica, you're really trying to create a culture of consent.
Yeah, we're creating Mask Erotica to be a reflection and an embodiment of the sexy consent culture of San Francisco, and like by consent, like, you know, everybody there is present and conscious of what they're doing, why they're doing it. It's not just a kind of a debauched free-for-all or grab fest or sleaze fest or any of that, but we're bringing on board a lot of communities, and we're collaborating with a lot of amazing innovators and pioneers in the sex positive world, Club Exotica and Hubba Hubba and Tranny Shack and a lot of other folks, Kink.com folks and Citadel and Bonajagogo, and really bringing all these communities to come together, to play together, to be sexy and open and creative.
Tell me about the Masketeers.
The Masketeers is an initiative I've come up for this year where we will be inviting core members of the various communities, especially Mission Control is going to be helping with this initiative to kind of host. They're kind of like walk-around hosts that we have at Mission Control, and the Masketeers will be on-site at Mask Erotica, help maintaining the vibe and kind of creating a safe container by having a visual presence, by greeting guests as they come to the event, saying, hi, we're here, this is who we are, we're here to help maintain the vibe, and if you have any issues or problems or anybody's getting a little bit too creepy or a little aggressive, just come talk to us. So it's about 30 trained volunteers kind of helping to create the safe, intentional vibe, you know, just having a presence. There's a lot of other big events, somewhat similar in the past, that kind of promote it's a safe container and a safe sex-positive space, but then there's nothing on the ground. There's nothing at the event to kind of actually make people feel safe or say, like, hey, we're actually, if somebody is doing something creepy or just taking too many pictures without permission, you know, like, hey, we're going to go and say, hey, can you, like, cannot do that, please? Masketeers will be on hand.
And really create some education and discussion, because I'm sure people don't intend to be creepy, but they just don't know maybe the vibe that they're putting out there, and they don't know about, you know, how important it is to ask.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we have so many negative role models and modeling for, especially for men, and women, too. I mean, this isn't just a man thing. There's a huge learning curve when it comes to, like, okay, I want to open up, I want to freak out, and oh, maybe this woman is right in front of me, like, wearing almost nothing. Guys immediately interpret that as, like, oh, she must be into me, right? It's like, no, she's just celebrating her freedom to be sexy and to dress up, you know. Or a guy wearing a little thong, does it mean you go up and grab his ass? It's like, no, he's celebrating his right? So consent is sexy, like, consent implying, hey, ask. Just, like, check in, like, have a moment, like, acknowledge everyone's freedom, acknowledge their personal space, acknowledge that they're not there just for you, that they're there for themselves to celebrate their freedom.
There's this idea that, you know, oh, it was just right there, I had to, and people kind of play that over in their mind. But what that takes away is that other person's autonomy about what they want to do and how they want to share their touch and sexuality and all that sort of thing. And people, yes, they want to be looked at and appreciated, but they may not want to be photographed. They may not want to be touched. And so it's just nice to check in. And that's one of the ways that, you know, we create a safe space so that it's not a free-for-all. Because I think, you know, when people think, oh, I'm going to a sex party. Oh, I couldn't because it's just going to be a free-for-all. Does that mean people just walk up to you and try to have sex with you?
Right. I mean, the amount of people that I've heard coming to Mission Troll, whether it was any Mission Troll event or Kinky Salon or Club Kiss, once they've been there for a little while, they come up to me and they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe how friendly and like safe I feel, and I just thought it was something completely different. Oh my God, I totally know who I'm gonna invite next time. I had so much fun. I felt so at ease. And I mean, if I had a penny for every time I've heard that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Because and how can we create that on a large scale?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that I applaud Masquerotica in taking on, is creating a large scale sex positive event. I mean, I don't know if Folsom, I mean, it's technically kind of sex-positive leaning, but the amount of looky-loos and the drunkenness and lascivious craziness that goes on, you know, I mean, it's changed over the years, you know, and I'm really working hard with the various communities and with Mission Troll and the Masketeers Initiative and all the communities and producers involved with Masquerotica in really creating something that we're really proud of, that really feels like a true reflection of the sex-positive communities of San Francisco, and hopefully really model what it's like to come together, to have a great, big, giant, sexy costume party, but still keep it, like, it's not sleazy.
Right.
People feel safe, mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
In addition to the big celebration, the big bands, the acts, the burlesque and cabaret, and the zombie strippers, and...
Yeah, but ultimately it's about the guests. It's about the participants feeling free, having permission, stepping into their fantasy avatar for the night and giving themselves permission to unleash again, which is why we have the Masketeers there with the big t-shirts that say consent is sexy, just to kind of keep putting that in there, because when you're opening up and you've got the endorphins kicking in, the serotonin, the dopamine is, you know, maybe you're a little bit drunk and all these sexy bodies and the music is pumping, you have a physiological response that drops you into a primal place and you just want to pounce. You know, when you see sexy, you want to pounce on it. I still have. I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years now, and I'm still constantly checking myself. I'm like, okay, do you really need to, like, get that close? Do you really need to, like, you know, I'm constantly asking my friends, like, oh, hey, is it okay if I, you know.
Oh, and checking in and asking someone, yeah, is so helpful and so sweet.
We have so little modeling.
So respectful, yeah, exactly.
For this kind of behavior.
I
mean, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. There's so little positive role modeling. Mm-hmm. Especially at large events and for larger spaces. A small space, you know, where it's been screened or everybody knows everybody. But I think the power of events like Masquerotica to influence the mainstream is more than we can possibly imagine. If we can show a lot of people coming together, having a wonderful, sexy time, and there's no sex negative energy, there's no blatant representation of women as just as objects or guys just as objects, where it really is about personal freedom to be able to celebrate your own sexuality, to dress up, to get your freak on, to be able to do this en masse in a large group, I think is incredibly powerful, you know, with all the sex negative, like fear mongering stuff that's going on in our culture today, you know?
Yeah, especially in the context of the war on women and what's going on with the GOP's platform.
And events that happen at Mission Troll, they're really closed doors. A lot of the sex-positive community, for right reason, they have to maintain a lot of boundaries between the public.
Discretion and secrecy and...
Yeah, and don't tell and don't take any pictures and don't say what goes on here. I mean, it's necessary and we get that because there's a lot of people that unfortunately don't have the freedom to explore their sexuality. Because, you know, they might get fired. They can't post on Facebook.
They don't want to lose custody of their kids.
Yeah, I mean, I've known burlesque performers that have gotten fired because their job found out that they were burlesque performers.
Totally.
I mean, it's shocking.
Oh, professors in universities.
Absolutely. You know, and when people see people having sexy fun and they see how beautiful and creative and positive it is, I think it helps the demons to fade away.
Totally.
You know, I think it helps to pull the scary fears that, like, oh my God, these are just whatever, these godless heathen pagan freaks, even though we might be.
But in a really beautiful way, letting go of the dogma and finding spirituality in this moment, in connections with each other, in creating more light and more pleasure and more joy. And if that is a godless heathen, well then...
Yeah, we want to get into the G word. I mean, I'm all about, I mean, goddess is my boss. I'll put that out there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of ways to think about and talk about and create God.
Yeah, direct experience is just so powerful. And giving people direct experiences and debarbing what it is to like be around other people, having fun and being sexy and kind of opening up a little bit speaks volumes. Like, you know, you can proselytize, you can have workshops, you can educate and post to your heart's content. But one experience of somebody coming to an event, feeling safe, seeing other people feeling safe and just celebrating that freedom is absolutely invaluable, and I've found is the most powerful tool in moving and educating culture towards more openness and freedom.
So how can people find you and your work? I know that you're also creating the Mystic Midway.
Yes, well, that's a whole other ball of wax. But Maskerotica coming up on October 20th, right? That's maskerotica.com. We're all over the Facebooks and the interwebs. Facebook posting about lots of amazing other communities that are happening all the way up till October 20th and afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to go and check out that about who else is doing what. And you can find me at BaronScottLefkoff.com. That's my kind of my more day job where I promote more corporate and kid stuff, actually, my day job. And MysticMidway.com is my more culture building, sort of mystical carnival.
Pop-up carnival kind of stuff?
Yeah. We've gone out a few times recently with our little pop-up carnival around the mission. We did Pedal Fest. We're hosting various events. And that's really more about the nuances of social design and coming together to celebrate in other ways, not just the sexy fun.
Well, thank you, Scott Levkoff. Looking forward to Maskerotica. And we're going to be out at Folsom as well.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a present at Folsom Fair, so come find us. We'll be next to the kink.com booth and right near Wicked Grounds. We'll be giving people masks and doing body art on folks. We'll have a big spinner wheel, and I will have a large ensemble of gorgeous, hot freaks of all persuasions in wonderful headdresses. You won't miss us. We'll be the nakedy people with the giant headdresses.
Woohoo! And thanks for coming on Sexploration with Monica.
Thank you, Monica, for all the wonderful work that you do.
My pleasure. So here we are at the Elbow Room, and we don't have much because we're cuddled up here with Mr. Peppermint, who is going to tell us about how dudes cannot be creepy at play parties. Peppermint, welcome to Sexploration with Monica.
Hello, it's nice to be here.
So Dossie Easton actually told me about this article that you wrote on your blog, Freak Sexual. It's a guide basically for men for play parties.
Well, yes, there's this sort of overall problem that guys walk into play and sex parties and they have this odd sense of what's going to happen.
They're like, I'm going to have sex!
Well,
magically, without even talking to anyone or
right,
anything.
Right. It's just...
It's going to happen.
There's no space. I like to say there's no space in our cultural consciousness between monogamy and 24-hour drug-addled orgies.
Whoa.
And
yes.
Right. And so...
There's no in-between spaces.
There's no in-between space.
Right.
But in fact...
There is an in-between space.
Right. There are a lot of in-between spaces. And one of them
maybe
is...
Maybe not being drug-addled.
One of them is actually what happens at sex parties.
Right.
So they're not an orgy. You don't come in and it's not like people fucking all over the floor. It's not Caligula, if you've seen that movie.
I've never seen Caligula. And actually, you know, orgies are actually much more polite than I think people imagine them to be.
I think people imagine that if you go to a sex party, you'll meet those people who are not sensitive about sex, who don't care about the sex they're having, who are just randomly having sex. And it's not true. Nobody randomly has sex, more or less.
We do it because we want to feel pleasure and we think that the person near us could be fun.
Right, specific things with specific people.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's true at sex parties as well. And so when you walk into a sex party, there's still a lot of negotiation. There's people asking for what they want. There's people asking other people for what they want.
Totally.
Actually, people mostly have sex with people they've already had sex with at sex parties.
That's true.
Just around other people, right?
Yeah, right. Which is fun to do if you've ever done that before or not done that. I would recommend. Or even making out with someone that you maybe haven't made out with around other people that are having sex. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's good times at these parties. And I mean, I have had nights where, like, you know, I was doing my thing with my girlfriend and we were getting it on and I look up and at one point the fuck room got full and there was like this wall of flesh.
Yes.
Right? But it didn't look like it. Those people were pretty wild. But that was a carefully negotiated wall of flesh.
I'm sure. I'm sure those people were like, okay. Actually, you know, there is a way to, like, bridge that gap between, you know, I'm just having sex with my partner with whom I've always had sex and actually making contact with other people. But it requires communication and reaching out to those people, you know, and making friends with them in advance. Like, in a very lighthearted way where they can say yes or no and be like, okay, sure.
Right. My favorite line involves the word later.
Yes.
So, like, I'll meet someone at a sex party, and I'll meet them, like, in the social area. Like, people aren't having sex around us. We're just sort of hanging around and talking and socializing. And, you know, I'll chat with them for a bit, and then maybe they seem to want to chat with me for a little bit. And then I'll say something to them like, you know, you're really neat. I would love to play with you later.
Yes.
If that's something you'd be interested in, come and find me.
Yeah, and that way it's really no pressure. They can wander off and then come back or whatever.
Right. It's a super easy way to say no. They can just not come back later.
Right.
They have to make an effort to come and get me.
Right. And does it work? Does it work in the affirmative also? People do come back later?
Yes. Though sometimes later is not that party.
Right.
Right?
Sometimes,
sometimes
it's a different party.
Sometimes they find me on Facebook afterwards.
So you play the long game.
Yes. It is sex parties and play parties. All about the long game. Right?
Note to self, men. It's a long game.
Well, women too, actually. Like, you know, you meet someone, you take your time, you see them a couple times at the same party, or maybe you see them in various places, and then you get together with them. Or maybe you see them at the party and they did something really neat, and you go home and you say, okay, I'm going to find this person on FetLife, say, and
or
send them
Facebook.
A little note. Or Facebook.
But FetLife is like the Facebook for kinky people.
Right. Well, either one will get you laid.
Yes.
Right. These are places to contact people.
Truly.
And you say, oh, you did this amazing rope scene at this play party, and I really enjoyed it. I would love to hang out with you sometime. Drop me a line if you're interested.
Right. Yes. Well, and it can be so much lighter because you see each other's posts and you're getting to know each other, and you can, like, basically gauge, is this person safe or not? I mean, I don't know what guys have as their little dialogue, because I always want to know, is the sex going to be good and is he going to be nice to me afterwards?
Right. I think,
is he going to be like, you're a slut, now I get to be mean to you, ha ha.
I think, that can be a concern, but hopefully the guys you're meeting at sex parties are
hopefully
not thinking
they're not
that.
Like that, yeah.
Right, exactly. Or they're going to have a lot of trouble. Cause
and
it's,
then
well,
never, you're never going to have sex with them ever again.
Well, it's a room full of sluts. Like, everyone's a slut there.
Right. Right.
That is sort of the point.
Well, people don't necessarily identify as a slut,
right,
but yeah.
Right. They are just walking
much
into
much more sexually open than most people.
Right. Just walking already into a sex party is already less than monogamous somehow.
Right.
Right. It's not
right.
quite chaste.
Right.
You might say.
Yes, there could be sex happening in front of your eyeballs.
Right, in fact, and you might have to carry on that conversation with that hot cunnilingus, like,
going on
right over
right
to your left side.
You're like, yes, right. I'm looking at your eyes and I'm not distracted. It's actually pretty hard to be, you know, like, really, because I've done interviews at Kinky Salon, for instance, and so there's, like, you know, there's the clown porn going on, the porn shoot where they shoot the Nerf gun at the porn. And then, you know, I'm talking about having an orgasm in an MRI machine. And then there's some kind of lingus happening over there. And I'm like, oh, there's so much.
Right. It actually, it's awkward.
No,
it takes some getting used
to. And your brain is all like, sex. And you're like, oh, no, you're trying to talk about MRI machines right now.
Right.
What about MRI
you're
machines?
Trying to
oh,
stay
yeah,
cool
orgasm, right, totally.
And socialize. People get actually, this is a big problem. People walk in and they get super overwhelmed. Guys especially, but actually I think women do this all the time too. And maybe just their reactions are different. Like guys will walk into a party and be there for a bit, and it just gets very overwhelming. There are naked people, there are kinky people, there are people doing crazy sexy things all around them, and they don't know how to respond to it, and it's sort of sensual overload.
Well, and how do you respond to it instead of in a visceral way, in a, like, animalistic way, like by just pouncing on someone, instead of responding to it like that, like, how do you respond to it in a more thoughtful, I'm a monkey that talks kind of way?
Well, you're bringing up an important point, which is the first thing you should do is just not touch people.
Right.
Like, if you are at sex and play parties, they are not even like a bar. They are not like your friend's house party. They are a sexualized environment. In sexualized environments, you do not rub up against people. You don't grab their shoulders. You ask them before you hug. Like, it's all
That's
this.
That's a good idea.
They tend to have these very specific, like, do not touch without asking rules, and they really mean it.
Well, and
that's to create a safe feeling in the place because everything, right. everyone's so overwhelmed, right? Like,
right.
people get a little touchy because
right.
they're so overwhelmed.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it also gives someone the idea that you are into consent, which could make someone feel super safe.
Right. Well, and that's a big thing. Like, if you're getting together with someone at one of these parties, or if you're just meeting them and thinking about getting together with them later, you know, you sort of want to start establishing trust. And this is for all genders and all directions. Like, I think it's a bigger concern for women, but it's absolutely a concern for
men as well.
Otherwise,
you end up with that guy that thinks it's sexy to give you a wedgie, and you're like, don't give me a wedgie, and he gives you a wedgie, and you're like, don't give me a wedgie, and he's like, but I like giving you a wedgie, and you're like, but I hate that. And you're like, stop giving me a wedgie, and then he gives you another wedgie, and then you're like, I am never talking to you again.
Right, exactly. Or, I mean, if you are a guy who dates women, you end up with that woman who is not super specific about what she wants and
right.
who
also
says
tricky.
One thing and then suddenly she wants to do something else and there's sort of all this
stuff,
which is okay, but sometimes I'll meet people who have trouble talking about what they want, right? So getting
and then
that
what
sort
happens?
Of... Well, and then we, you know, have to talk about it more because I insist. More
oh,
or less.
Right. Good for you. You don't just blunder in blindly random stranger.
I'm
smart.
I'm too old to
You're like,
around,
I've
as it were.
Played this game and it didn't work before.
Right, right. I want my sex to be good.
Yes.
And good sex often involves, you know, asking for what I want and mm-hmm. then getting it or not getting it, but maybe getting something else that I want.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it really is. It's funny because I think that we all have like 10 different things that we could want. And if mm-hmm. we could, like, you know, or 20, you know, and then figuring out what we all, like, agree on.
Right, and that's often part of the sex party negotiation. Or in my case, I'm into SM. I'm at play parties. It's part of the play party negotiation. So it might be like, well, I'm into impact play and whips and spanking, and I'm mostly top, but I could bottom. You know, I'm also into, like, these sorts of sex.
Right.
And what are you into? And they might be like, oh, well, you know, I can
and
do this
and that.
And
what I could be a yes to right now is maybe some oral and definitely making out in the playroom or going back to the jungle room and, you know, hanging out for a while. But then... maybe a spanking.
Right. And there's
no PV. Penis, vagina.
Well, and actually that's a very common thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you brought it up. People think, oh, well, you go to sex parties and people are having sex. And what they often think about as sex is penis and vagina intercourse. And in fact, most of the sex that happens at parties is manual and oral. And that's because people are... It's just sort
and
of an easier
manual,
thing.
By manual, you mean fingering and hand jobs.
Hand jobs, yes, exactly. And
also very safe sex, fingering and hand jobs. Very safe.
Right.
You can do that with very little, like, STI communication needed.
Right, and there's always gloves there. We hope
mm-hmm.
there's always
yeah.
gloves there. And it's just these things are a little less, they involve a little less commitment to the act, if that makes sense. And they're easier to do in sort of complex, loud environments where other things are going on. And this can be a big problem with sex parties because... you know, many of us are not used to having sex in a room full of people having sex.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it can be sort
of... it's hard to get your attention on your sensations.
You get distracted again.
Totally.
Right? And so people tend to, at least initially, go for stuff that's a little easier to handle.
Right.
Right,
yeah.
Or not as intimidating.
Right.
Right.
And also something that feels safer. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, for me, that's why I often don't choose to go to the PV. And also because penis-vagina intercourse... if it's not, you know, if you don't slowly move up to it, it can be painful. Whereas fingering, there's only one finger going on, and maybe there's two, right? So that's probably not going to hurt, you know?
Right. It's just a little bit more straightforward, you know?
Right.
Blowjobs and cunnilingus, a little easier. There's less moving
right.
parts, is that,
exactly.
if that makes sense. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like the handshake of sex rather than... you know, rather than the full enchilada.
I think we mixed metaphors there.
Yeah, totally. Sorry about that, everyone.
That's
suddenly
great.
We're like eating Mexican food. What? Okay, so we get to a sex party and we're feeling awkward. What do we do?
Well, the first thing to do is maybe stop thinking about it so much as a sex party. These parties are often divided into different rooms, like the parties at Mission Control, which I happen to like a lot here in San Francisco. They have front rooms where there's not a lot of sex. Like, it's mostly dancing and socializing and people hanging out and talking. And then they have the back rooms at this point, which are sex and kink. And so you can sort of just hang out in the front rooms and be like, okay, I'm going to socialize. And then you actually just party. like you would at your friend's house party or whatever. You meet some people, you chill, you talk to friends you know, and if you get overwhelmed, maybe you go out on the porch or something.
Totally.
And sort of sit by yourself and cool down and like think cold shower thoughts or whatever it might be.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Totally. I am a bunny. I am a bunny. I am a bunny.
Right. Fields
everything
full of
safe.
Butterflies.
Yeah. Totally. Everything's fine. I didn't just watch a naked guy in a GIMP all doing something that was whatever, you know.
Right. Well, that, I guess that's another thing. Like, it's one often sees things at these parties that are not one's usual sexual menu, shall we say. And it can be surprising. It's important to be respectful of other people's sexual expression.
Totally.
And that might be queer sex. Mm-hmm. Might be queers having sex. It might be particular sexual acts. And often it's kink, mm-hmm. right? It's like one thing to walk in on the people like having a bunch of oral sex. It's another thing to walk in on that like spanking where the guy is like screaming.
Right.
That can be a little unnerving.
Or where the woman is sobbing, you know, and it's this right. big tough guy just beating the crap out of this little girl and she's crying and you're like, oh, honey, are you okay?
Right. And that can be freaky, but you know.
Totally.
There's someone watching. She hasn't safe-worded.
Yes.
She's probably okay.
Right. Right.
Right. She probably wants to cry.
She probably wants to cry. It's really cathartic for her.
Yeah. So, you know, often it's good to retreat to the porch, chill out a bit. I think another important thing is sort of keeping your expectations low, both for the night and as the night goes on. Most people, when they go to sex or play parties, they do not play the first time. They often don't play the first, second, or third time. And then when they do, it's usually with someone they brought. Right? So it's like, you know, don't think you're going to go walk into one of these places and hook up. The number of times I've hooked up with someone I just met, I can count on my right hand. And I've been going to sex and play parties for ages. Right? And other people are a little better at it, but even so, they don't do it very much. It's not the main thing that happens. Mostly people show up, they see wonderful people they know, they often bring wonderful people they know, and they play with them.
So before we move on from sex parties to sexy parties, and I want people to get all this information because you can find it on his blog. It's Freak Sexual, and it's called... what is it called? A Guide to Play
Parties
for Men?
Guide to Play Parties for Men. People keep saying, actually, it's not just for men. Everyone.
Oh, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. But it was written by a man, so at least you know that it's coming from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Right. The target audience was men, because that's sort of where a lot of the problems happen. Like, guys come in with, I think, overly high expectations, and they don't really know how to negotiate the space, and they do a lot of sort of typical guy things, like hit on women too strongly or stuff, and they don't know the rituals.
Yeah, you know, I actually got an email from someone. It was his first contact email. Mm-hmm. Although I had met him in person one time at the slut walk. He was like, hi, my name's whatever my name is, and I write this blog about patriarchy, and I saw you do a speech at the slut walk, and I'm like, oh, great, yeah, okay, I'll see you online. And then so his first opening gambit with me was, you know, blah, 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 all this other stuff, and then I haven't had sex since 1983, and why aren't all these sexually free women having sex with me? Maybe I could get some discounted sex work.
Oh,
and I was like,
that's not
well,
so
actually,
good.
That might be why you're not getting
right.
Sex,
this come online, not so good.
Why do I, you know, why am I responsible for your sexual scarcity?
Well, and that's one thing to really watch out for, which is, as I like to call it, that entitled attitude. Right? Like guys thinking they're entitled to sex. And if you turn on the TV or you watch movies, it might convince you that you are entitled to sex from women just for being a nice guy or what have you. But that is not true. You, in fact, are only entitled to sex with women who want to have sex with you and who hopefully you want to have sex with. Right?
Yeah, hopefully that happens
right?
at the same time. Yeah.
And so really it's a process of negotiating this in a way that's friendly and respects everyone involved. And if you're unable to respect the people involved, it doesn't happen since 1993.
Yeah, 83.
83, oh my
I
God.
I know. It was just insane. And I was like, discounted sex work? Like, what are you, Mother Teresa? You get a discount? Okay. So anyway, that may not be the best approach. But anyway, as you're thinking about guys and sex party, this is maybe their first erotic, sexy, open environment. What is the most important thing for them to remember?
Go with friends. And watch out for that sort of desperate feeling.
Oh, the hungry ghost.
The hungry, yes, exactly. That like, oh my goodness.
Like everyone's getting laid but me.
Right, I need to do this. Right, you know. And I'm speaking from experience. I sometimes get that feeling. Like, there's this time.
What do you do when you feel that?
Well, let me get to that. There's this time at 1 a.m. at the sex parties when everyone goes and fucks.
Yes.
And so I often show up to sex parties alone, and often I don't have anyone to fuck because I tend to fuck people I know, right?
Right.
And at that point,
me too.
I'll be like, wow, okay, this doesn't feel so great. And I made a promise to myself at one point to just go home. And at those points, if I can't sort of manage to socialize in that space, I just take off.
Right. No,
there will always be another one. Yeah, I mean, I live in San Francisco.
No, exactly.
Right, yeah.
So the difference between sex parties and then sexy parties is that sexy parties are kind of like an intermediary. Like, we have Masquerotica. There's the Sexy Circus coming up. The Sexy Circus is going to be at Supper Club. It's going to be on beds. It's not really a sex party, but we're going to have sexy Carol Queen is performing, Vagina Jenkins, a lot of burlesque. We're going to have a porn star auction for the Center for Sex and Culture and the Shanti Project. We're auctioning off Jizzly and Mark Davis.
Oh, my goodness.
30 minutes making out with them.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, isn't that exciting? It's going to be so great. So that's coming up September 21st. That's a sexy party. And also, Masquerotica is coming up in October on the 20th, the 20th of October. And so there's these events that are all about sexual expression and sex positivity and sexual freedom, but it's not actually about going the full enchilada.
Right. They will often, I know at least the Supper Club has a rule where you know, it's a bar, right? You can't actually have sex there.
Mm-hmm.
And so there will be like a lot of teasing,
Lots of teasing. Lots of
so much
of it.
Teasing.
And
yes.
No one's going to tell anyone to put their pants back on. No.
But
unless you're not wearing underwear.
Yeah, you got to keep something on there.
You have to have a fig leaf at least.
But that can be fun too. Like, it's a very sort of teasy environment. And one thing I like to say is, what sort of people do you meet at sexy parties? You meet sexy people.
Right.
I come from the poly community, the polyamorous community, and people are always asking me, oh, how do I meet other poly people? And one of the things I tell them, which always gets me sort of a cross-eyed look, is go to sexy parties or go to sex parties.
Yeah, like the second base parties with Philippe. Those are a gold mine.
Right, exactly. Like, the people at these parties are going to be probably not so monogamous. They're going to be sexy people who often like to have sex with various folks. And so they're sort of good stomping grounds for folks who are looking for non-monogamous dating partners.
Mm-hmm.
And you can meet someone, and then you can go home and do the Facebook trick.
Right. And that way they feel safe around you because they had some contact with you. They don't, you know, you're not going to, like, take them off in your minivan.
Right, exactly.
In a bad way. Maybe it's a nice minivan. Sorry. I was getting out all my stereotypes there.
I have a minivan.
Oh, my God. See, sometimes
it's
awkwardness
okay.
Just psychically
comes
to me.
I put a bed in the back.
Oh. Awesome. So it's kind of like a van also.
A mini
sometimes.
Love van.
Yes,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, there we go.
Excellent.
There we go. Yeah.
So you have some events coming up at Kinky Salon. You're going to be throwing Threshold on the Sunday after Folsom.
Right, exactly. So Folsom Sunday is September 23rd. And we are holding Threshold, which is a kink-oriented party at Mission Control that Sunday evening.
And it's a kink-oriented play party.
A kink-oriented play party. So you can have sex at this party, you can spank people at this party, you can be spanked, you can get out the whips and chains. We love it all.
If your GIMP costume is needing to be shined
right,
up and
exactly.
Worn out, then do it.
We love fetish costumes, too.
Latex.
And what happens with Folsom, I keep hearing from people, you know, they're sort of roaming around Folsom on Sunday, and they get to 6 p.m., and the thing is sort of shutting down.
Right.
They're like, wow.
They're like, I'm not done.
Where's the party? And so we are intending to be that party. We will start at 5 p.m., we will end at 11 p.m., and we're going to have a workshop at 7 p.m. that it will be a rope workshop by a great dancer who is flying into town. And the workshop is named Tie 'Em Up and Fuck 'Em. It's a very direct title, I think.
Right, yes. You know what you're about there, yes.
Right. There's no
maybe,
beating around the bush here.
Maybe it's for foreplay.
Nope.
Yeah.
This is about rope and sex.
Got it.
So we're going to have a good workshop, and it's going to be sort of a chill recovery evening, but one where you can actually also get out all that tension that you built up over the weekend.
Right. And you guys have all the accoutrements, like the horses and the crosses.
Yes. We have spanking benches.
Yes.
We have St. Andrew's crosses. And at our last Threshold party, we really sort of mixed the space up in a fun way. So people were sort of doing this over here, and they were doing that over there, and they were doing this in this room. And it ended up being a very wild party, actually. It was
really?
Very nice. Yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
So as the person who throws the party, you probably don't get a lot of play, do you?
Actually, I managed to play with, I think, 4 different people at the last one.
Whoa.
It's because I am lucky enough to have a team of 6 throwing this party, and so we take shifts, as it were.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's helpful.
I made some wonderful connections at the last one.
Right, because I imagine, like, the people who work at the sex parties, of course it's fun to be in a sex-positive environment, but, you know, if you're working the whole time...
Right, then usually you don't play. And in fact, that's usually how it goes. This was kind of an exception. But, you know, it was an inaugural party. We brought Threshold back.
Right.
It used to be held at Mission Control, but now it's my party.
Right.
I've taken it over and we're sort of resuscitating it.
Right.
So there was a lot of good energy there and fun people that I knew.
Right, yeah. When I was doing the bondage dinners, I would never actually talk to people or play or anything at a bondage dinner or even do any bondage or anything. It would be just me, you know, managing, going here and there and, you know, doing the host thing. But then, it would have to be someone else's party where I could finally be like, oh, wait, I'm having fun now. Awesome. I mean, not that I don't love working. You know?
Right. Well, you know, it's important to have a solid staff and a good set of volunteers.
Yeah, and creating a safe space. You know what? You want to be present for what's going on, you know?
Of course. Yeah.
It's important. So what are some of the other things that you do to create a safe space, a threshold, where there's even more edgier play than at a regular sex party?
Well, all of the Mission Control events have what we call the charter, which is sort of a list of... Rules aren't the right word. We ask people coming in to join in agreements.
Yeah.
Yes. And that way they feel... And they are producing the space, as it were. Like, we make it the responsibility of everyone to produce a wonderful party, and that's how we get a wonderful party, actually. And so, you know, there are the obvious things on there, like, please don't touch people without asking... And then there are some sort of less obvious ones, too. Like, if you see something going wrong, please intervene or talk
to
the host.
Let a host know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if you're not sure if the girl is crying in a good way or a bad way,
right.
Just check in with someone who
do
might
something.
Know.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Exactly.
Yeah, totally. And you guys can have a conversation.
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent.
We're very friendly space. And you can find all that at missioncontrolsf.org, including the information on Threshold specifically.
Perfect. Well, Peppermint, it's been such a pleasure having you on my show.
It is wonderful talking to you.
You can find Peppermint at freaksexual.com.
Yeah.
And Threshold is at missioncontrolsf.com?
.org.
.org. Perfect. Yes. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
You can subscribe to Sexploration with Monica on iTunes and have new episodes delivered automatically. Or download free podcasts at sexplorationwithmonica.com.